Systems in the Dhamma. So now we are this evening chanting. Turn to page 14 of the retreat chanting book. Page 14, 1-4, evening chanting. Okay. Let us start the chanting. To the Blessed One, the Lord who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offerings our rightful homage. Well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generations.
May this simple offering
be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed One, I render homage to the Buddha, the Blessed One, the teaching so completely explained by him. I bow to the Dhamma, the Blessed One's disciples who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. Now let us chant, now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to him, the Blessed One, the Fully Enlightened One,
the Fully Enlightened One.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha, a good word of the Blessed One's reputation has spread as follows. Such indeed is the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the perfectly enlightened One.
Endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished One,
the knower of the world, the incomparable master
of those who be trained, teacher of gods and men, the enlightened one, the blessed one.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha. The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus.
I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conquerors,
the Buddha, who is the safe
refuge
of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and Guide. The Buddha is sorrow's destroyer, who bestows blessings on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth,
May I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessing of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome.
My body, speech, or mind, whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may I acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond time, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nibbana. Can be understood by the wise, each for themselves.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded,
and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I will hear the excellent teaching that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the second object of recollection, I venerate it without a hate. I am indeed the Dhamma servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and Guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge.
By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome.
By body, speech, or mind, for whatever action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha.
Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One's disciples, namely, the four pairs of persons, the eight types of individuals, is worthy of offerings, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gifts, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of merit to the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue, I revere the assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity, the Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the third object of recollection, I venerate it with all the heart. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide.
The Sangha is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows all blessings on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I go in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha
and the blessing of this practice,
by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. My body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future
there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, we will chant the closing salutation. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādeti svākkhappo bhagavatā sammo dhammaṃ namassāmi Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sangha Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, I need to get my warm clothing. It's getting chill already. Yeah? Yes, give me a minute. Okay, we still have 5 more minutes. Before we start our meditation, this one is only 30 minutes of formal sitting meditation to stabilize one's mindfulness and samadhi. Do you have any more questions regarding how to meditate? By now it should be clear, right? You must have the understanding that your main focus is to train your mind to have mindfulness or awareness within, then stabilize it. Then after that, when it comes to the second part, constantly meditating means constantly develop this awareness to observe, to understand. Then later on, contemplate on the Four Noble Truths, Three Turning, Noble Eightfold Path, everything. That will complete the whole cultivation. Understand? So training the mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be stable is very important. You can try the Mind Sweeping method if you want to. Or the 6R also expanded on it a bit. What the 6R do is, when you have like tension, stress, or tightness anywhere, or a distraction. It can be a thought, it can be a phobia, fear, or itchiness, or whatever. So when it arises, you must be aware to recognize it. Understand? Let's say your head, like Alicia's case, got tension. Then Joey's case, one side of the brain got a bit of tension. So you develop awareness, then you recognize that this is a distraction or something that has distracted your mind, pull your mind towards it. Means you worry about it, you want to do it away, that is aversion. So recognize that a distraction has occurred. Don't fight it. Understand not? Don't do anything. Just recognize. Then, what is the next one? Huh? You forgot already. Sixth R. Next R is what? Release it. Release means what? Means don't hold on to it, understand? Don't worry about it, understand? Means release. Means let it be. Then? Relax into it. Similar to our first support, isn't it? Relax into it. When you release and don't relax, means you hold, you try to fight, you try to suppress, you try to do something, the thought come out. So after you recognize, you release, then you relax into it. Relaxation is very important. After that, he teach you what? We smile. Smile means like the mind supreme method. Visualize yourself facing a mirror radiating a radiant smile. When you smile, you have joy, you have love, you have metta, understand? So there is no aversion, no negativity of mindset. So that joyful state will help you relax more, understand? That's why when you can smile, you feel your facial muscle soothingly relax. Understand? Then the fifth one is what? He asks you to return to do anapanasati. No need, unless you want to train your anapanasati. So for them, they want to train anapanasati. Because to them, anapanasati is the way. That's why he give up the Burmese rising, falling, and opposite, and he teach them anapanasati. In fact, he read the anapanasati sutta, and he modified what Acharya Buddhadasa wrote. The 16th Taittiriya. He realized the tension, the membrane at the brain there, when there is tightness, tension, or what, this one shrink and create stress inside the forehead. So because of that, he realized the relaxed state and the remount step, relaxed step and the remount step is so important. That's why when he heard my four support, he was full of joy. Hey, he said, similar, he said, Mr. Teo. He said, you're relaxed, I also have, but I got re-smile. Then I said, maintain awareness, you don't have. Understand now? You don't have maintain awareness. He re-smiled, then he returned to anapanasati. Then anapanasati, you go too deep into apana, you get into apana, then you don't maintain awareness, you cannot develop awareness-based meditation. But he liked anapanasati. So to him, if he returned to do anapanasati, he is meditating, understand not? That's why it becomes a method. That's why I say, don't do that. Because his last step is what? Repeat everything, understand not? Every time you got distraction, repeat the whole 6 hours. So if you every time repeat, it become what? Mechanical, isn't it? Thinking that you don't do the 6 hour yanome. That's why later on a lot of his students, they ask this question. How long must I do the 6 hour? Do I need to stop? Then does it mean that I don't do 6 hour, I'm not meditating? Then one of the students asked, is this vipassana? So how? You cannot develop the understanding. Because this one is just a skillful means, a technique to relax the mind, to develop the smile so that you relax. Then go back to anapanasati to train your mindfulness. You understand not? So what we do is relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it, then use it to meditate. Then later on when you become skillful, your awareness base, establish, stabilize. This awareness nature can develop the understanding, see things as they are, insight into phenomena, contemplate, reflect, and do all those things that give rise to the first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom. That's why once you have the awareness nature within, you have trained, then understanding the meditation Developing wisdom to awaken is relatively so much easier. So the first thing you have to do is establish this mindfulness, stabilize it. You want to use skillful means to develop it first, up to you. You want mind sweeping method, 6 hour or object of meditation, you must remember to do until the sati become very still, very stable, until mind enters sati. That's it. Okay? So now I will set the alarm, 30 minutes. You have your awareness-based meditation. Okay? You can mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the mind state. You need to stabilize them in the midst of life. So whatever you do, aware, maintain awareness. Remember the advice of my teacher, Acharyantra. We choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment, which everything you do, exactly like what the Buddha described under the sati sampajana category of cultivation. Okay, now we will continue from where we stop. Nine Heart Sutta class. Tell me.
Page 56, Nine Heart Sutta class, part 1.1. Seven factors of enlightenment. Within the 37 factors of enlightenment, there are seven main factors of enlightenment called Satta Bojanga, as taught by the Buddha, and they are one.
Okay, before you continue, I need to explain a bit. This Satta Bojanga, Satta is seven, Bojanga is enlightenment factors. What does it mean, enlightenment factor? Because according to the Buddha, in his core teaching, there are only seven main enlightenment factors. And these seven, you can do it. It will help you a lot. Means these are factors of mind state that can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. So we will go through these seven. And you will realize the first one is what? The first enlightenment factor is what?
Sati.
Sati, yes, mindfulness. Without sati, without mindfulness awareness, you cannot start. You will see why. The second one is investigation of Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. Without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. There is not something that the thought can understand. If you investigate Dhamma, you need sati, mindfulness. Okay? And before we continue, the rain remind me, just now the meditation nice, very nice. Oh, so good. I almost sank into it. I want to stop the alarm and let you continue. It is like meant to be, to settle you down. And the vibration, so beautiful. The whole area covered in mist, then it starts to rain. No wonder today a bit chill. But now I got warm clothing. Okay already. If you feel not enough warm clothing, go back and have more. Okay, let me continue.
Number one, sati, or mindfulness, silent inner awareness before the knowing, is the first factor of enlightenment, and it is also one of the five spiritual faculties. For sati is life, and without sati, there is no heedfulness. Hence, no life, because the heedless are as if dead. Also, without sati, There is no heedfulness or the silent mind in pure awareness to investigate the Dhamma and to see the mental intentions behind all our actions, speech, and thought processes. 2. Dhamma vichaya or Dhamma investigation is the second factor of enlightenment. Only with sati is there the ability to investigate the Dhamma with the silent mind. When the Dhamma stands up to investigation, the faith or sadha in the Buddha and his teaching will be strengthened, giving rise to the virya. 3. Virya or spiritual tenacity or energy or zeal is the third factor of enlightenment that will drive your meditation. Then, 50. The spiritual joy or calmness, which is the fourth factor of enlightenment, will arise. 5. Followed by pasadi or tranquility and stillness of mind, which is the fifth factor of enlightenment. This is the silent mind in sati or mind has entered sati. 6. Samadhi, the collected and unwavering mind, which is the sixth factor of enlightenment, will arise once pasadi and sati has stabilized.
Yeah.
7. Upekkha or equanimity of all mental formation born of wisdom is the last of the seven factors of enlightenment, and it will arise once sati and samadhi have stabilized to enable one to see things as they are, leading to all the wisdom of panya, which is also the last of the five spiritual faculties. This chemically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind, or this segmented human being, which you all call Brother Theo, is not me, but just only a tool and a vehicle for me to come to this existential world and for me to make use of, to live and experience life to the fullest, etc. This form of physical body of mind is similar to the functional body of Lord Buddha, called Nirmanakaya, that performed the function of the Buddha 2,500 over years ago, when he became enlightened under the Bodhi tree. His spiritual nature or perfection body, called the Sambhogaya-kaya, came back to him, and then they combined to make him the Sammasambuddha. They are arising the third transformed body called Dhammakaya that enables him to speak and proclaim the Dhamma. So after understanding all this, you should not cling on to these chemically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind so diligently anymore. And the next time when you argue with your friend or your wife or husband, you will understand that it is just one form and mind, with its bundle of memories and its conditioning, views and opinions, etc. Arguing with another form and mind, so not so real and not what you think.
So this one is very important. Eh? From now onward, with this understanding, don't be deluded. Eh? Look at your wife, smile. Why want to argue? Nama-rup, five degrees of form and mind, dependent originating, and so on. Bundles of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning. That's why sometimes you realize, initially when you are courting, both also very respectful, yeah? Talk also very nicely. Yeah? Take your time, don't worry, yeah? You will tell your girlfriend or your spouse. But once married already, the attention differently. Why take so long? Huh? The wedding going to start already. Quick. Then you take for granted. Then the wife, after hearing this, get angry. You also, sometimes you also late. Then finish already. You know, both also form a mind, you don't know. You know, you identify, you think you're real, you think your wife is different, separate from you. Yeah? You want to be right, you want to be in the position of command. What happened? Or you want to dominate your spouse. This is how misunderstanding, conflict arise when we deludedly grasp onto this five angry of my mind. That's why I say this brother Theo you call is not me. Why I can tell you so clearly and so confidently? Yeah, I saw it. And the physical body make of element, no knowing, go the way of nature, cannot be me. The aggregates of mind, feeling come and go, I didn't die. Perception come and go, I didn't die. Sankara arise and pass away, mind state, mental state, I didn't die. Consciousness arise and pass away, I didn't die. So how can it be me? Then with the Dhamma understanding, after going through the teaching of the Buddha, I realized this form and mind, although not me, is karmically conditioned out to my karmic nature, it's related. And this is subject to karma, that's why I got a duty towards the law of karma. And then I know how to live, I know how to make use of this human being, vehicle and tool. I will not illudedly worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. I do what I have to do. If I need to seek help, ask for forgiveness, resolve it, move on, I just do it. I won't go and worry about it, panic about it, become miserable over it, then complain. You're wasting your time, being deluded. So this one not easy to understand. We are since birth until now, most of you are so conditioned that you are real, your identity. Your people call you. Although you all call me Brother Theo, but I know this is not me. But this one is a vehicle and tool for me to come, to live life, perform the function of a human being. Then to cultivate, to fulfill my vow, to go through the life process. Then to establish affinity and other things. Then to teach, to share, to do whatever that is relevant to this form of mind, even though unreal. But there is such thing as life, do you understand? Do you understand? Although impermanent, non-self, bring about suffering. But with this wisdom, you can be free of suffering, you can live life. Why not? Understand? Although transient, impermanent, short-lived, maybe 80 years, maybe lucky, can hit 100 like Jiwei's sister, 101. But if you are not healthy, too old also, not so good, understand? So you must actually understand, you must have some form of health. That's why health is very important. The Buddha did mention, what is your highest wealth? What is it?
Virtue.
Virtue, your highest wealth. Yeah. Then the other one is, one is wealth, the other one is what? Highest one?
Spiritual.
I cannot remember, don't worry. The other one is, you must have the health, otherwise you cannot live life. Even with the understanding everything. But Ajahn Chah is very good example. You know what happened to Ajahn Chah? He was a great tradition of the Thai tradition, forest tradition. They believe he's an Arahant. And he has a lot of Western disciples. They call it the Ajahn Chah tradition, the Western disciple lineage. So what happened was, when he was relatively young, he was very famous. His Dhamma was very beautiful. The Westerner liked his Dhamma. And he got a lot of Western disciples, Ajahn Sumedho, they all, Ajahn Jagaro, and many of the Thai tradition. So during that time, They actually were full of joy, and the sasana were actually flourishing and doing very well. Then the Westerner got a place to go. So he established the temple for Westerner. He called it Wat Padmanachana. Wat Padmanachana. I got one classmate, Wong Phuk Chai. He liked to pronounce this word. He said Nana Chat. Wat Padmanachana. Whereas his own temple, he called it, what is the name again? Wat Pak Pong. Thank you. Still remember. Wat Pak Pong. So that one is for the Thai people. Then I went to go Wat Pak Pong and Wat Padmanachan. Do you know when I was in Wat Padmanachan? I tell you, you won't believe it. I met Sri Panyo there. You know who is Sri Panyo? Tan Sri Ananda Krishna's son. When I was there, actually I was only a lay person. No? I went with a group of Kanyamita. They're very funny, you know. They offered me the monk's room. They got me the key. Then after that, Sri Panyo took us around, you know, in Sri. Talk to us. And Sri Panyo knew, you know, our group different. You know. And you know what happened when I was there? That Wat Padmanachana, there is a type of Anapanasati energy, very established and very strong. You know. When I reached there, when I went into that room, where the rest is sleep like open, you call what? Dormitory. One room, big room, a lot of devotee inside. Then above the kitchen area where we do our dana, they do their dana. Then every morning they have pindapan. The Anapanasati energy was so strong when I went there. I find that the Anapanasati natural. No? That it like enhance your Anapanasati. You know? Then I developed it until, I felt so good. No? Then that time, my nose, here, actually I got I think I scratched it or don't know what, then I got an ulcer inside there. No? Do you know what happened or not? After I slept there for one night, actually we were there for 3 nights. I slept there for one night, the second night I wake up, I didn't sleep long. Throughout the night, I was doing Anapanasati, but in the lying down posture, maintain awareness. Then the energy was so strong. By the morning, my ulcer gone. I healed. Then after that, the pinda part, everything, the energy. Then when we were going around, I think Sri Panyo shared with us a lot of things too. Then Achan Sumedho was also there. Then we supposed to help out. You know, forest monastery, a lot of dry leaves keep on falling. So we were helping to sweep the monastery. And we know you have to exhibit mindfulness. That is the training for the monks. Yeah. But the understanding is different now. You know, when I sweep, I have joy, you know, I love. You know. Then there were a few Kayamita, separate. This one is crazy. Before I sweep finish, that side the leaf drop again. Then before I finish further, this side already need another sweeping. You know. So he said, how? Then you know what I told him. I said, this is the reality, understand or not? What is the reality? The leaf will fall. True or not? If you don't accept, you complain, that is one way. Then who suffer? You suffer, understand? If you accept, you smile, you laugh, you sweep with mindfulness, you develop the training, the cultivation, then you exercise your body. Then you develop the joy, the understanding. This is Dhamma, understand or not? You come here instead of appreciating the environment, the tranquility, the setting, and the condition. And I say, the Anapanasati energy, can you feel? They can't. But they know that place is very nice, very beautiful and all those things. So later on, when Ajahn Sumedho was conducting the, I think, Dhamma sharing or something, I think he asked a question, I don't know what. So I was thinking, got nothing, nobody put up hand, so I put up hand. Then I share the leaf incident. He find it very interesting. Oh, that is interesting. I say, this is the reality, the leaf will fall. You have the understanding, Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Then when I was there with Sri Panyo, just we finished, then he said, why not we come to the meditation hall and have a rest there so that we can sit there and chat and discuss. Then while we were there, he said, you want to meditate? After he asked, you want to meditate, you know what I asked him? I said, Ajahn, can we do lying down meditation? You know what he replied? Surprisingly, he didn't reject, he didn't say no. He smiled. Lying down meditation. You must be very good to do that, is it? Oh. He knew. So what happened was, after that I lie down. I did the lie down. Then he knew. No story, nothing. Awareness, stillness. I think he can detect our energy also. Just like that trip, although that was the first time I went to Vatpananacha. But it was a beautiful trip, the Pindapan, everything. So when you have Dhamma, you can understand many things. Okay? How did I go there? How did I end up there? What was it that? Oh, karmically conditioned for my mind, huh? I teach you how to live life, then I don't know why I end up there. Okay, continue.
If you deludedly cling or grasp onto the five aggregates of this form and mind as the I and the me, then you will have what the Buddha called self-delusion or Sakkaya Ditti. Self-delusion or wrong view with regards to the self will condition your egoic mind and personality to arise, leading to all your selfishness and possessiveness, to own, cling, grasp and possess things, wanting things your way, etc., thereby arising the whole mass of suffering. The Buddha gave five very good analogies to clearly explain the empty nature of these five aggregates of form and mind. He said your physical body or form aggregates is like a foam. Appears so solid but not so, because if you leave the foam for a while, it's gone after a while. And the feeling aggregates is just like a bubble, arises and passes away so fast. Then the aggregates of perception is just like a mirage you see in the desert, appears so real from afar, but you will realize that it's just a mirage. When you come near to it, the aggregates of then the aggregates of sankhara or thinking activities of mind is like peeling a banana tree stem, layer after layer. You peel, finally at the core of it, it is empty. That is sabbe sankhara anicca and anatta. Lastly, the Buddha said your aggregates of vijnana or consciousness is just like a magician. A magician is also called an illusionist, who creates illusion for you to see. Hence the reason why the Mahayana always said, this world of ours is an illusionary world, a world of consciousness, so not so real and not what you think. Do wake up and do not be deluded.
You can understand, not so real. Do wake up and not be deluded. So what is this phenomenal world? How do you come to know the phenomenal world? Through what? Huh? Through your consciousness via your senses, isn't it? Clear or not? So the phenomenal world is in fact the phenomenal world of consciousness, understand not? And how real is consciousness? When you become conscious of something. It's just an image up here, isn't it? True or not? How real can it be? You grasp at it, cling at it, give meaning to it, and become miserable over it. You don't know how to appreciate life because you don't understand this image. Even though the senses enable you to perceive and become conscious, that is such thing as life, understand or not? Because the senses is a gift from nature. You understand or not? Without the senses, you cannot live life. You cannot interact with the world. You cannot know the world. You cannot develop the ability to exist as a human being. Do you know with the senses, you become so beautiful? I think you all heard of this story in the internet in the early days. There was a teacher that asked the student to write down, what are the wonders of the world? You heard of this? Huh? You never heard of this? Huh? So everybody wrote what? The seven wonders of the world. What is it? The first one, of course, you know, like Great Wall of China, isn't it? Clear not? Huh? Then all the other wonders. Then there was one girl, no? He didn't write any of the wonders. No? He said, to me, the wonders of the world is my senses, no? My eye. You know? It gave me such precious, he called it the senses, to enable me to see, you know, the beautiful vision. You know. The moment I open my eye, I can become conscious of what I see. You know. And what is this thing that you see? Huh? You see the TV. They used to say sight and sound. You heard of this title, no? Sight and sound. Where you can see the beautiful nature, the beauty of life, the beauty of existence. In fact, our planet, do you realize that there are so many beautiful places, no? There are sea, water, everything, so pristine, especially those resort areas that very few people go on. Then a lot of nature, the mountains, the what, like the Xinjiang I went, a lot of beautiful nature, the setting, the snow-capped mountain, everything. Qingyap, Suian, we all went. Then you look at the Astro TV now, you can like enjoy the sight and sound, and all of what the world is. Sometimes through the internet you Google, they are so beautiful, no? The social media you receive. Even China itself, so much beauty, you know, within the country. Then when you visit Europe, South America, America, and a lot of other places. And this is live, you know. Oh, you go and deludedly say, unreal, not real. Anicang dukang anatta, don't waste time. Means you one-sided, understand? You only cling on to the unconditioned Dhamma, maybe not even the unconditioned Dhamma. You interpret the unconditioned Dhamma and think you know. Then you use your mundane thinking to interpret and come up with an idea, views and opinion, then you comment. But those who are enlightened and have the understanding, they understand what the Buddha meant. In the Lotus Sutta, Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, you heard of that sutta, isn't it? The sutta explained, isn't it? When you realize what Kuan Yin Bodhisattva realized in the Prajna Paramita Sutta, Zhen Kong Miao Yu, understand? That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence. When you realize true emptiness, life, existence become wonderful, understand? You can live life to the fullest. You can experience life to the fullest. Then you can get to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life. And that joy, the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, you have a form of mind that is so beautiful. You got the wisdom of the Dhamma that prevents you from suffering. That type of noble life, and you don't know how to live it. So, don't blame anybody. Just blame yourself for not able to understand this teaching. So this teaching has a lot of benefit, a lot of meaning, beauty. So life, existence, even though not what people think, not so real and all those things, but there is such thing as life. Because the condition, Dhamma provides such condition. Understand? I used to tell people, those who don't know the two Dhamma, not awakened, you know what they say or not? After they cultivate, they think they enlightened already. They think, you know what they'll say? I must behave and act like an enlightened being. No? I must have no craving. No? I must not get angry. You know what happened? Good food, all the nice food, they say, hey, cannot, this is craving. I used to tell my Kayamita, what? Craving, you bring the good food, I eat. You think the Buddha never eat good food? Who invite him? The king, the noble one, all invite him. You think he don't eat? He tell the king and the noble, all the rich people, I'm a monk. I eat vegetarian. I cannot have craving. Please don't offer. Do you hear any of this in the sutta? The sutta only say you keep the 8 precepts. If you become like a cultivator, means under training. So this precept is to guide you, understand? You undertake the training rule to train yourself, where this one can lead to downfall. It doesn't mean some other religion, they put the commandment, they never say it's a precept, they command you, and how they command? Thou shalt not, So if you have the understanding, you interpret, thou shalt not kill, okay? I don't kill, I hire assassin to kill, I didn't break the commandment yet. But the Buddha is different, I undertake the training not to kill, Even I hire assassin and cause to kill, still break precept. Understand, It's big difference, understand, So in life, don't be gullible. But don't go and quote me and say, Brother Teo say, don't worry, Everything you can go and eat until your heart's desire. You overeat, you become craving, understand? So a lot of things depend on your understanding. Understanding is very important. If there is condition for you to have the good food, the good life, why not? If you can afford, pamper yourself a bit. Understand now? I remember one of the retreat. There was one lady. I don't know from Klang or where. She quite wealthy, When I say this, I told him one of the three. I brought my son, my daughter, my whole family. We flew business class to Europe and have our holiday. Immediately put up her hand. I agree. I can afford. Why not? He also fly business class and all that. I mean, once a lifetime, understand? You have the condition and the means, and you can afford it. Why not? So don't be rigid and gullible. So life, existence, when you understand, is very meaningful. You can live life really differently. Because you appreciate life. Then you have the understanding of life. Then you know how to live life. That's why you become different. Then like what the Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, wonderful existence, life become wonderful, existence become wonderful, and the beauty, everything go your way. When I travel spiritual tree or what, you can ask the Kaya Metta, even Sri Han also know. We are like very blessed, the weather all very soothing, very beautiful, like conducive, meant to be. When we came, the weather good or not? Very good, yeah. But after we came, the weather has its phenomenon. There was one year, initially when it started, before we came, we heard Teng Siew Sifu say, very cold, better bring warm clothing and all those things. It has been raining non-stop, non-stop. Then the message reached us, then they all sent all these, what they call, precaution statement to the participant. So what happened was, we arrived. It was raining cats and dogs before we arrived, for I think months or weeks or months. The moment we arrived, sunny. Then 8 days sunny, beautiful weather, warm, not so cold. Then on the 8th day when we do the closing ceremony, immediately after I do the closing ceremony, ceremony transfer, outside the dark cloud, very thick, waiting. The moment we shamarate, transmarate, rejoice, the downpour throughout the night rain. Then next morning, go back, again sunny. But I told them, you don't expect this to happen every year. Then there was one lady, I think also from Subang, she's a dentist. At first she don't believe. He came and talked to me. Well, maybe coincidence. I said, coincidence, okay. Next year you come or not? He said, yeah, next year I come. Next year she came. You know what happened? Again, 8 days in rain. On the closing ceremony, about to do the closing, and she came to me and told, Brother Teo, I won't believe. And he said, again, the same thing ever. And again, the downfall. So, these are nature's occurrences, understand? Don't just because you hear this story, you say, oh, Brahati, very special. No, nothing to do with that. It's nature's manifestation. When there is such causes and conditions, things will unfold. And this is to give you the understanding and the faith, because they rejoice. And a lot of things happen up there you don't know. Like the first few days, and even today, the rain was so conducive for you to meditate. Then, of course, a bit chill, but nice weather, isn't it? So, all this is what you will be able to experience when you have the Dhamma, when you have the Parami, when you are the, what they call, Dhamma practitioner. The Dhamma protector will protect you. Those great beings, their nature, they will rejoice and they will protect you. And all the heavenly beings, the devas, the nagas, the whatever. So, when you share merit and transformation, a lot of non-human also receive. They also rejoice. So this is what Dhamma is all about. If you walk the path of Dhamma, you receive all the blessing and the understanding. But if you walk the path of heedlessness, you end up going to karmic friction that will condition your suffering, your misery. So don't blame others. Why your life like that? The Buddha already gave you the answer. We are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are with your karma. So what must you do to have the good life? Take care of? Take care of what?
Karma.
How you take care of karma?
Keep precept.
Avoid all evil? Do good, purify the mind. How to avoid all evil?
Keep
your precept, understand? That's how the teaching of the Buddha come about. Every morning, pay respect, develop the wholesomeness. Then chant the salutation, develop affinity. Take refuge, develop affinity with Triple Gem again. Then renew your precept. This is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. then do the puja to develop wholesomeness. When you do all this, you attend all this, do you know all the 10 meritorious actions you have done? What are the 10 meritorious actions? First one is what? Dana, your sponsor, correct or not? You make offering, dana to the altar and all those things, then you donate. Then sila, you renew a precept, you have sila. Bhavana, meditate, the retreat program on hand. Then listening to the Dhamma, every session almost. Then after you listen to the Dhamma, what do you do? Huh? You share merit, isn't it? Then you rejoice, isn't it? True or not? All these are meritorious action. Then when you understand, you straighten your view. Again, meritorious action. Then the last meritorious action is what? Do your duty. Service to the sasana. You volunteer kitchen service, cleaning service, help out as committee member doing the what they call video and all those things. Then rejoicing and helping each other as kayanamita. That's why all the 10 meritorious action is there. And this type of awareness-based meditation is so wholesome. You know how much merits do you accrue after the session? I already explained earlier on, understand? You should count your own blessing and rejoice. And determine after that. When you have such condition, you somehow don't know how to make use of it. You realize the rain louder already, you know? So a lot of things when you understand, Dhamma become beautiful. When you don't understand, you get yourself entangled and the result is suffering. So between suffering and happiness, which you choose? It's very obvious, choose to be happy, choose to have the understanding so that you can have the good life, the wholesome life. Okay, we continue.
Page 58, part 2, Hasutta lesson 9, commentary page 7 to 11, 2.1, the three karmic obstacles. Be aware of the three karmic obstacles, and according to Master Xuan Hua, eradication is what the Heart Sutra is capable of doing. That is doing away with the three obstacles, the retribution obstacles, the activity obstacles, and the affliction obstacles. 1. Retribution obstacles. There are two types. A. Primary retribution. Born with it. Primary retribution implies chemically conditioned physical body, like the type of DNA coding, the physical appearance, etc. B. Dependent retribution implies chemically conditioned living conditions or your materialistic inheritance, that is, born poor or born rich. And where you are born into, you don't have a choice because it is a dependent retribution, but who you marry to, you do have a choice.
So now you understand. Karma conditions you to take birth through karmic nature's law processes. So this retribution obstacle are very important. That's why you cannot complain. Why you born like that? Your DNA so weak, you can have so much problem. Or why you born not handsome, not pretty, not beautiful? You born with defect, chachat and all that. Then why your parents like that? Like that story, you remember? Bill Gates, when he was in the undergraduate before he graduated, I think he didn't graduate, isn't it? When he was first year, I don't know what. There was a lady classmate actually liked him. The other way around. Bill Gates liked her. But Bill Gates at that time not famous. So try to tackle her. But she prefer more handsome one. Bill Gates not so handsome. Then that time not wealthy yet. The dollar sign not there yet. So it didn't. Then he married somebody else. Then you know what happened. The story goes this way. The children and the son, later on when they grew up, they realized the connection. The mother told them, last time this guy chasing after me. Then the son say what? Stupid. If you have married him, I son of Bill Gates. You think that will happen? Your karma different, understand or not? Even the mother marry him, let's say possible, but you will not be the son, understand? So, people are gullible, understand or not? So, what I wrote here is for you to understand. You are born with the primary retribution, means DNA, whether you are handsome, your DNA, how, or already coded. You cannot argue in nature. This is primary retribution. Then dependent one is what? Depend on the environment, the condition. So whether you're born into a rich family or a poor family, or how you end up, it depends. Understand? So all this is already like karmically conditioned. So dependent retribution depends on the environment, the condition, your parent and all those things. But who you marry, you can decide. Correct or not? So our Chinese culture very good. Who you marry is very important. You know, if you marry the wrong guy, who come after you for your karmic debt, you become miserable. So they say, what is the Mandarin saying? Then the other one in front is what? Like, you can choose to do all sorts of things, but never choose to marry the wrong guy. Well, that one is very detrimental. So a lot of people, they go through marriage, they kena kau-kau until they regret. Want to divorce, cannot divorce. Divorce already also got problem. Don't divorce also got problem. Yeah, it's karmic affinity or karmic repercussion. You understand? 来讨债. So there is a saying, what? 冤亲债主. The coming that you cannot run on. Why you choose her? Because that type of karmic repercussion meant to be. Initially, I was so lucky to marry this girl. After marry, then the true color show up. You remember? There's an author, very famous, Alexander Pope. His famous book. Reality begins after the first day of marriage. He said, when poverty hits at the door, love fly out of the window. True or not? So in life it's like that. But you have the good karma, you have the good affinity, then everything become different now. Your children, your wife, everything, they are like meant to be one. Like Sakyamuni is Buddha's wife. Even when he became a Samasambuddha that life, Yosuhara became the wife. You know they have been wife and husband and wife for how long? Very, very long. Many, many lives. Even the disciple of him, they have been like the top 10 disciples. I read the Jataka story, the life of the Buddha and the top 10 disciples. It was mentioned by the Buddha. They have been born into families together. Either they are siblings or they are parents and children. Like Kasapa, they all. Sariputta and even Moggallana, Arunura. They are like, most of the time, same family and all the same, and they cultivate together, they move together. So because of that, when he became a Samasambuddha, because of all those vow, promises and affinity, they also come and take birth at that time. And most of them, the close disciple, even Kondanya and Anuruddha, Ananda, they were cousins of the brother, you know. Right? You know? They are related, actually. The family all related. So, karma is like that. Take care of karma, then your life taken care of. Because you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditions, but and you are what? You are your karma. And to actually take care of karma, follow the advice of the Buddha. Means keep the precept. They say the precept is very important. Avoid all evil. Keep the precept. Then do good. Cultivate, follow Noble Eightfold Path, develop mindfulness. Then meditate to realize the wisdom. Then your life, beautiful. You will not marry the wrong guy. 嫁错郎. So some of the lady, they say, the old tradition of the culture is that, what? You marry that person, you follow that person. What do you call that? That was very good. It means they accept their life under the sun. Whoever you marry, the female or the lady or the wife, the spouse, they know. Yeah? Your life depends on that marriage already. So you have to accord, flow and follow. But most of the time, end up, the wife during the olden days, nowadays civilization different. Lady different already, career minded and a lot of different things already. But during the time of my parents, they all, the wife, I tell you, very susah. Get to do all the housework, the cure, day and night non-stop, not supposed to work, only give birth. And a lot of children are not that time. That's why I saw my mother, that type of sacrifice. Every day, 5 o'clock morning, wake up, work until at night, 9 o'clock, non-stop. That time, no gas, no. Had to collect firewood and build your own fire. And he cooked 3 meals a day, no. No fridge, no. Go marketing, walk, no. No car, no transport, nothing, no. It's not to say happy, we are conditioned like that. Once they experience the hardship in China, you know what my mother told me. Although he come out, he has to work so hard and do so much things and sacrifice so much. He told me one, when after he retired, she retired, when all the children grew up, she was living a good life, we have to take care of her. He came down and did with me, you know. Then he wants to learn the Dhamma, wants to learn Buddhism. When he saw me different, then I teach him how to do chanting. Well, he's illiterate, how to teach him Dhamma? Then ask him to chant, he got affinity Kuan Yin. Then I say, the purpose of learning the Dhamma is to liberate from samsara. So in Hakka we say, Tiao Chu Ku Hoi, understand? Means Tiao Chu Ku Hai. You know what my mother said? He said, no, when I come out of China, I'm already out of the sea of suffering. See how content she is. We are comparatively saying, in China, you work so hard, also no use. Not enough to eat. The weather so intense, so unfavorable. Then he said, our soil here, he said, our Malaysian side, they call it Jiu Fu, I don't know what. When he come over here, he call it Jiu Fu. He said, Jiu Fu, the land is so fertile, so flat, you throw any seed also grow. There, you got the terrace, the hill, carry the water from the stream, everyday water. And the soil was not fertile, so not enough to eat. So, after experiencing that, that's why they, when they come over, they say, this is like heavenly room ready to her. You know, every day got three meals upon them, you know, up to us to eat, you know. My father buy, we all nine in the family, with my grandmother, my mother, my father, about 12 of them. My father, every month, buy one gunny sack on a big floor, you know, and fill up the hole, they call it the mi gong, where they keep store the rice. So they go through that type of life. You know. So luckily, my father and mother, they all good karma, meant to be, no problem. So life was very good. They do their duty. That's why they can be our parents. And their parami will be beautiful, even though uneducated, both my parents uneducated. But they have love. They are very, very kind, very compassionate. They sacrifice. Actually, my father sacrificed. He told us, he said, don't worry about money for education. I will look for you. Three meals, shelter, I take care. He said, your duty is study. That is the generation. So, here is a topic on karma. I want you to understand, you don't take care of karma when you come, depending on the civilization, the era, everything different. Do you remember our recent era? During my time when I went to MU, the man got ku keng, you know what is ku keng, extorted. But after I graduated, the 80s and the 90s, you realize a lot of snatch thief, they never go after the men, no. They go after the ladies. The family, understand? The lady cannot smash him, rob, and all those things. So, you look at civilization. Then I used to share with Kayamita, we are so blessed. We are born in this transition era. That's why I like transition. I saw the 50s and the 60s, where the world is still very backward. Then the 70s onward, we progress so fast. So within this transition year, every decade, we progress. And I call it the golden years. Why? Do you know that we are so blessed, our generation? Even Qi Wei, because he 14 years older than me, but he lived very long. That's why he get to see the present civilization of the 21st century, understand? The last 20 years or two decades. My father passed away early, 2004. He only saw a little bit, color TV and all those things. But no handphone, no social media, no all this fantastic, what they call, advancement of civilization. So nowadays, you have the means, you can afford it. There are so much things in the world that you can really experience. And I used to see in the Astro Channel in the early days, the year 1990-something until 2000, they got this series, Ticket to Indulgence, you all see before. Wow, such a beautiful video. They show you how luxurious the wealthy people indulge their life. But I'm not telling you to imitate them. I just want to see that all these are possible, you know, where they have money, understand? And ticket to indulgence, you know, not ticket to see cinema show, to indulge yourself. So a lot of these things, like you never believe the civilization can be so different. Progress until you look at the handphone, the IT revolution. After my daughter 80s onward, these last 40 years are fantastic, I tell you. I call it the golden era. You get to know the old, you get to know the new, and you get to live this type of life where you have the means to experience all these. That's why not only the pristine beauty and wonders of life, even including all the advancement, civilization and all. Do you know even in Malaysia, all over the world, you can get all sorts of food, understand? Japanese, Korean, sometimes the Northern India and all those things. And some I never heard of one also. Yeah, my children bring them, bring us to have that. So you can have this condition. You shall count your blessing. Born during such golden era, I call it the golden era. That's why I say this is a golden era, and also a golden window with the sasana. If you miss this, you got the sasana. What time already?
8:40.
Okay, we better finish all the karma. So the first two understood, then activity obstacle. This is coming obstacle, just now is retribution. Now coming obstacle got two, maybe I read faster. Activity obstacle means implied karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. Like you have a lot of karmic obstruction while working and living your life. Understand not? You meet up with boss that harass you, give problem to you. Then every time you make money, the coming obstacle come, you lost them all. Or you cannot scam, you cannot cheat. Nowadays a lot of scammers, and big money one. Sometimes 6 digit, 7 digit one, the amount. But how come it happened? The last time you scam people, you cheat people, you deceive people, and now you willingly cannot scam. Sometimes it's not because you deluded or you ignorant or you're not IT savvy, you don't know. But this is coming. You have to pay back, you have to pay back. When you scam and cheat people, people become the victim. What is karma? You reap what you sow. So the karmic friction come, you become the victim. Last time you push drug, you make the money, you're happy, and you don't bother about how people suffer and all those things. Then, in future, what happens? You come, you become the victim, you become drug addict, and people sell to you, you reap what you sow. Yet you didn't know how much misery you cause to people. You steal, you misappropriate, then when you make your money, fire destroy your property. Economic crisis come, destroy your wealth. So you lost them. And I have seen a lot of people with depression, they came and see me. They tell me, they said, Mr. Teo, I cannot understand life. I said, why? He said, every time I make my money, I work very hard. I said, somehow, I lost them all. My own brother, sister, my own sibling, my own good friend, everything. They cheat me, they deceive me, you know. And sometimes people I don't know come to me, talk to me, then like help them become business partner. Then they take advantage of me, you know. And many times, until he went into depression. He see psychiatrist also give up. And the psychiatrist came to my SJBA talk. I gave a talk on depression, following the Buddhist understanding to overcome it. He asked questions. He put up the hand and he said, this is the best Buddhist Dhamma talk I have ever listened, he said, about depression. Then he asked me, I'm a doctor, I'm a psychiatrist. I got a client, a patient, suffer depression, long time, 20 over years, and miserable. And I try everything I can. Hearing your talk, I hope you can help. I say, can. Bring him up. And really bring him up. So he came with the brother, the sister, one family. Then he listened. After he listened, I explained karma. I said, because you cheat, you deceive, misappropriate, then this life, whatever you earn, gone. Then only he looked at me, you know. Yeah, he said he cannot understand. Then I said, karma is very simple. You reap what you sow. Do good against good, do evil against evil. 种因结果. But towards the end, he started to understand. You know. He said, now I understand. Then he wanted to follow the Buddhist way. So karma is not for you to believe or disbelieve. It's for you to have the understanding. If you understand, you avoid evil, do good, purify the mind, you have the good life. Otherwise, you become miserable. Okay? Then the next one. Affliction obstacle. This one is even more meaningful. Implied chemically conditioned affliction caused by what? Heedless living in mind. When you are heedless, this affliction obstacle is like the karmic friction, the negative karmic friction. That is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. Then Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. We have gone through that. You want to be happy? Then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Or act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is Dhammapada verse 2. Then Dhammapada verse 2 will take its form. So life is very simple. Choose to be happy. Avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Follow Dhammapada verse 2. To do it, train your mind to be heedful, mindful. Then develop understanding of what constitutes evil. How to follow the advice of the Buddha. Then the last paragraph is, don't blame anybody for your affliction. For according to the Buddha, read together, what is it? We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. Get this understood deeply in your mind so that you don't forget this. Then only you will follow the advice of the Buddha. Otherwise, you take things for granted. Because you will say, got karma, man. My life so good. Wait till the causes and conditions arise, then you kena upside down, then you will know. But most of us, I think, are quite blessed. Your life relatively good, I realize. Not too bad. Except one or two. Okay, so I read on. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of karma so that your life is taken care of. Do not be heedless. Have goodness and kindness, for you reap what you sow. Why have goodness and kindness? No evil in it. Be good and kind. No evil in it. Be loving and compassionate. No evil in it. Develop gratitude, respect, contentment, kindness, goodness, sincerity, honesty, gratitude, humility. All these are beautiful virtues. You reap what you sow means what you do to others, karmically it will come back to you. So if you are good and kind to others, karmically others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. Then remember, the absence of evil is good. So don't try to be good, but instead just train your mind to be heedful and mindful so that it is incapable of evil. Then naturally you will be good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have no evil, but only wisdom and virtue. Okay, Tammy, you continue.
Part 3. Meditation, email number 4. 3 turning and 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths. 3.1. The 3 turning and the 3 types of prajna, as explained by Master Xuan Huang. The 3 types of prajna or wisdom, as explained by Master Xuan Huang, are similar to those of the 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom, as explained by the Buddha under his Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon. And they are 1. First turning, proclaiming the truth.
Okay.
The 3 types of prajna or wisdom, as explained by Master Xuan Huang, are similar to those of the 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truths wisdom, as explained by the Buddha under the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon. And they are 1. First turning, proclaiming the truth as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or discourse of the Buddha. Master Shenhua calls it Prajna of language.
So it's the same, Prajna or language spoken.
2. Second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant contemplation, inquiry, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Master Shenhua calls it the Prajna of contemplative illumination.
So it's the same. The third turning? Yeah.
Third turning, meditative training leading to Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. Master Shenhua calls it the Prajna of characteristics of actuality or ultimate wisdom.
Yeah, that is the direct seed. Next.
Page 60, 10 Heart Sutra Class 1.1, Brother Teo's reminder on heedfulness.
See, the emphasis is on heedfulness again.
Brother Teo reminded us not to be heedless anymore, but instead strive on with heedfulness and diligence, making use of this great window of opportunity to cultivate and to gain liberation from birth and death when the Buddha Sasana or his dispensation is still around. This is because according to the Buddha, it is very difficult to be born as a human being. 人生难得, and even more rare and difficult is to be born during the era of the Buddha Sasana and to encounter the Buddha Dharma. 佛法难闻. So do follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. For this great window of opportunity is indeed very, very, very rare.
See, the emphasis is very, very, very rare. So please, do understand all this and don't stand to regret later. Okay?
So please do not be complacent to let it slip away, for you will truly regret how foolish you were if you were to let it slip by. The earlier Heart Sutra short notes that emphasize the following important basic essential teachings of the Buddha are more than enough to help you all develop your cultivation. 1. Importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculties. 2. Importance of having right view with regards to the law of karma to follow the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada verse 183. 3. Importance of cultivating heedfulness. And 4. Importance of understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially its second turning, that is, to constantly investigate the Dharma via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to develop your own understanding via Cintamaya Panya, wisdom born of the second turning. To develop this Cintamaya Panya, one needs to carry out constant inquiry, reflections, and contemplations on the Buddha Dharma, or noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, and not just via believing what the Buddha said and then committing them to memory and storing this so-called Dharma up as knowledge. For the true Dharma and wisdom is an understanding, and it is alive, a living Dharma that can be explained and understood. Can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge and memories are of the past, very rigid and fixed, making you very rigid in your views. Part 2. Heart Sutra Lesson 10, Commentary, page 11 to 15. 2.1. What are deviant views? Deviant views means deviated or wrong and devious view born of delusion that can condition one's suffering and misery. 2.2. What is affliction? Affliction is mental suffering conditioned by one's three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. 2.3. The unmoving mind of true suchness. The true mind with the enlightenment factors of samadhi and upekkha or equanimity. 2.4. Why 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment form foundation of mindfulness? Question. Why did the Buddha specifically state the duration of 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment of at least an anagami? If one were to maintain these four arousing of mindfulness or satipatthana practices as taught by him, Father Chiu replied, the four arousing of mindfulness or four foundation of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha is very unique because according to the Buddha, this four arousing of mindfulness is the only way for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for destruction of suffering and grief, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana. Then the Buddha continued telling the bhikkhus, verily, O bhikkhus, should any person maintain this four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, for 6 years, and so on for 2 years, let alone a year, for 7 months, 2 months, 1 month, half a month, or 1 week, then by him again, one of the two fruition is proper to expected wisdom or knowledge here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. This is the assurance given by the Buddha, so it is worthwhile to give it a try, isn't it? Just sacrifice maximum 7 years to cultivate the satipatthana and your future existence. Should you choose to come back, it's all set and taken care of. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, and suffering. That is from then onwards worth the while, isn't it? The other reason is basing on the Avijja Sutta, cultivating the four arousing of mindfulness is step 8. And this step can only be effectively cultivated when one had completed the cultivation of step 1 to 7. Especially step 4, Yoniso Manasikara, 5, Sati Sampajanya, 6, Sense Restraint, and 7, 3 ways of right conduct where you are assured of realizing as least a Sotapan or a Sakadagami. So strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore.
Okay, I think we can stop here. Because we have another 15 to 16 minutes more. Okay, we rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then what I will do is, we will maybe do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then after that, we will do some chanting. I think today we shall do this. Maybe you want to chant the Karaniya Metta Sutta? Okay, we chant first. After only we share.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Karaniya Matta Kusalena Yantam Santam Padam Abhisame Sakho Ujuta Sujuta Suvajo Tassa Mudu Anadimani Santo Sakho Cha Subharo Cha Apakicho Cha Sallahuka Vutti Santindriyo Nibhagoja Apagabho Kulesu Ananugito Nacha Buddham Samakare Kinshi Yena Vinyo Pare Upavadeyum Sukhino Vakemino tattha yeke ci pana bhutatti tasavata
Sutta is about love and Dhamma. So maybe I read to you some of the important verses within this Metta Sutta, Akaraniya Metta Sutta. The last three, you remember? I shared by the power of truth, which is Satya, Sakyamuni's most complete and established 10% out of the 10% perfection, He did this to the fullest, and he completed this perfection as the one that he held on to and cultivated to the most extreme, which means he is perfect in this perfection of Satya. That's why he knows how to apply. So here the meaning is itena satya vajena, means by the firm affirmation or determination of this truth. It should be affirmation, a more accurate one. Yeah? By the firm affirmation of this truth. So tite ho tu sapada, may you ever be well. So it's sending blessing to all. Then etena satya vajena, same, by the firm affirmation of this truth. Sabbarogo vinasatu, means what? May all illness and disease be destroyed. So this one, during the time of the Buddha, if you have problem with sickness, disease or what, they chant all this. Then the next page also after we will chant. Yeah? Then the third one is etena satya vajena ho tu te jaya mangala. By the firm affirmation of this truth, may peaceful victory be yours. So these are very beautiful affirmation of truth to help living beings cultivate this other way. Then you look at the stanza for the armor. The two paragraphs for the armor. Whether he stand, walk, sit, or lie down, as long as he is awake, let him develop the mindfulness. This, they say, is the highest conduct. So now you understand why the emphasis by the Buddha is on mindfulness, heedfulness. That if you do this, is the highest conduct of a cultivator. Develop mindfulness, awareness within. Then not falling into wrong view, virtuous and endowed with true seeing or direct seeing, he discards attachment to sensual desire. Truly, he does not come again to be conceived in the womb. Means you already become Arahant and beyond. Okay? Then, under the first stanza, he who is skilled in doing good, see, doing good, and who wishes to attain to the state of calm, means realization of Nibbana, enlightenment, should act thus. All these are the advice. So you check how many of these have you developed. He should be able, upright, sincere, obedient, gentle in speech, and humble. Contented, easily supportable, not a burden to others, with few duties, simple in livelihood, control in the senses, means sense restraint, discreet, not impudent, not be greedy, be attached to families, means no family attachment and all those things. He should not commit any slightest wrong. See, slightest wrong also he should not commit, so that otherwise men might censure him. Then may all beings be happy and safe. May their hearts be happy. So all these point towards cultivation, heedfulness, developing virtue, avoiding evil. Okay? So bear that in mind. Yeah? Then we will chant the blessing for all. So fast, 9:15 already.
Can chant Om Mani Padme Hum?
Okay. Maybe Sui suggests chant Om Padme Mani Hum. Okay. Who know how to chant together?
Can help to chant?
Can. AB can help. Those who know how to chant together, this will help you. You reciting the four how, the very special, what they call four how developed by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. This will enable you to establish deep affinity. Okay, you start, Amy.
Namo 大慈大悲救苦救难广大灵感观世音菩萨。Namo 大慈大悲救苦救难广大灵感观世音菩萨。Namo 大慈大悲救苦救难广大灵感观世音菩萨。
Auspicious blessing for all of us, for the temple, and for all the beings within this vicinity of Sampo Temple. Page 14, the normal retreat book, not this one, the normal, the simple version. You don't have. At the back edition. Okay. Amy? Come. Yeah.
Sumangala, auspicious blessing. Sabbhi diyo vivajantu saparogo vinasatu mate bhavatu antarayo sukhi digayuko bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba bhutanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam rakkhantu sabba devata sabba sanghanu bhavena sada soti bhavantu
te nakataya kabutanang papakaniwarana paritasanubalena hantu te sang upadale sabe buddha balapata pacekana jayang balang arahantanang jatejena rakang bandamitaposo.
Okay, we now end the thing by transferring our merit and sharing our merit, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyam tam anumoditva cirang rakkantu loka sasanam ettavata jamihi sampadam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sattati siddhiya idam me yatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me yatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idam me yatinam hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto ca vito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko yena punya kamena mahi bhala samagamo sattam samagamo hotu yava nibbana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the way you are. Then we will end the whole session. Huh? Sadhu.